In the Jewish tradition, there's something called midrash. Now, that sounds like a disease, doesn't it? Midrash? Yeah, my kids just got over hand, foot, and mouth, so yeah, midrash. But what it is a story about a story in Scripture. Now, for the Jews, that would be the Old Testament. Jesus taught in stories. What do we call them? Anybody know? Parables, that's right, stories that teach. Around here, we tend to offer first-person sermons as a way to help you kind of get your mind around what may have happened. They're based on Scripture. We know that the shepherds were a part of the Christmas story. We don't know that this actual person actually existed. But the story he has to tell can have a lot of impact on the way we understand God's love at work in our world. So bearing that in mind, I ask you to open your hearts and minds to this reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. At that time, Augustus Caesar sent an order that all people in the countries under Roman rule must list their names in a register. So Joseph left Nazareth, the town in Galilee, and went to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, known as the town of David. Joseph went there because he was from the family of David. Joseph registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was now pregnant. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have the baby, and she gave birth to her first son. Because there were no rooms left in the inn, she wrapped the baby with pieces of cloth and laid him in a box where the animals were fed. That night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby watching their sheep. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord was shining around them, and they became very frightened. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news that will be a great joy to all the people. Today your Savior was born in the town of David. He is Christ the Lord, and this is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a feeding box." And the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So the shepherds went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a feeding box. When they had seen him, they told what the angels had said about this child, and everyone was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then the shepherds went back to their sheep, praising God and thanking him for everything they had seen and heard. It had been just as the angel had told them. Now, I want you to take a deep breath. Center yourself and think about this. In your imagination, travel with me to a hillside. On Christmas Eve, we look forward to celebrating again the birth of a Savior into the world. It is a time that invites us to listen anew to the good news of God's love for us. God's love can be lectured about. We can try to explain it. We can describe it. We can even justify it. But tonight, the message will be delivered in the same way that Jesus communicated important ideas, through a story about ordinary people like you and me. Yes, they were working like shepherds, but ordinary, everyday folks, just like you and me. And we find out tonight what the good news meant to them, and it's our chance to think about, what does the good news mean to me and you? Before our story begins, though, here's some information that might help you to set the scene in your mind. Israel at the time of Jesus' birth was a land of conflict and hostility. It was occupied by the Roman Empire, a military presence that was at times incredibly brutal. But that was not the only source of conflict and hostility. Israel was also the home of two different religious groups who over the centuries had come to hate one another. And I do mean hate. They would spit in the path of each other. The Jews and the Samaritans both came from the same religious roots. But in the eyes of the Jews, the Samaritans had failed to maintain religious purity. Their religion was based on Judaism, but it also included a blend of different practices and beliefs that they had absorbed from other cultures. To the Jews, they were heretics, backsliders of the worst kind. Now, the Samaritans, on the other hand, viewed the Jews as puritanical snobs, really snobby. They were quick to condemn, they were harsh, they were judgmental, and the tension was heightened by the fact that the two groups lived in the same communities. They frequented the same markets, suffered the same oppression at the hands of the Romans, and they put up with each other, but only because they had no other choice. Now, let's go to a hillside somewhere in the hills southeast of Jerusalem, to the campfire of a shepherd.
May I approach your fire? I come, I assure you, as a friend, as a fellow shepherd, and on this night, a traveler as well. I do thank you. Your generosity is very much welcome. My name is Keziah. I have come from far that way, over the mountains toward Jerusalem. Like you, I am a shepherd. And like you, I think I am one of the most blessed people alive on this entire world. Did you hear them? Did you see them? I see you did, I can tell. I was frightened as well. No need to be embarrassed. I fell to the ground. I put my face in my hands. I covered my head. I knew that at any moment I would be killed. I was the way that I was taught as a child. For holiness and unholiness do not come together. The light, the sound, the music, it was beautiful, but it was too much. And then the angel's voice. Behold, I bring you news, tidings of great joy to all of you, to all people, for this day in the city of David has been born a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. What did that mean? And then he looked at us and he said, it is for you that this child has come. It is God's love being poured out. God has broken the barrier between heaven and earth. God has come in the form of a child. And this child will change everything. Because God loves you so much and pours that love out on every day. I don't know at that point in time why I did what I did. I couldn't help but blurt. Then why did God kill? No, that's not fair. It isn't fair to bring you into the story that far back, so you have a wonderful fire. Let me tell you, a wonderful fire, it seems to me, deserves a good story as well. It's a story about a boy who loved being in the hills, being surrounded by beauty and peace, seeing the sheep graze, lying under the heavenly lights. And in those moments, in those times, there seemed to be a peace and the happiness that descended upon him that was unlike anything else. And so every opportunity that came, he went with his father and later with his brothers into the fields. And the boy grew. And his happiness grew as well until he became a man and he had his own flocks and looked forward every day to taking them into the hills that they might graze. And every day, or to perhaps bringing them back, greeting again the family that he had grown with. The weeks passed, the seasons passed, the years passed. The man grew older. His family became concerned. They said, "You should marry. You've proved yourself well enough. You have enough a large enough flock. You have shown that you can support a wife. And there are many young women here in the village who would be happy to call you husband. Find a woman, find a young woman and marry her. And God will bless you with children." But the man did not feel any need for his family to compel him. And that way he was very happy, very much at peace. As he walked into the hills each day, his heart was full. He looked forward to those moments, to that time, to those evenings under the lights. Until the day came when he lost his heart. Lost it to a young woman named Miriam. At first, she was just a figure in a distant hill, accompanying her brothers into the hills with their own flocks. Later that day, he found himself at the same stream, watering his flock on one side of the stream while they were on the other, and she looked up and smiled, and he was lost. They began to meet in strange ways. She would tell her brothers she went to gather herbs or perhaps look for firewood, and they would find each other and talk for just a moment or two. But she loved the peace of the hillsides and the beauty of the night sky, and she found in them the same depth of happiness that he did. And then she found in him the same depth of love that he had for her. And so this man and this young girl, he proposed to her, and she said yes, and he was never happier than at that moment. And he went back into town, and he told his family, he said, "I am betrothed, engaged to a young woman so beautiful." And then he told them who she was. They said, "You cannot marry her. She's a Samaritan. They're dogs. You know that. You can't trust a Samaritan. They don't worship the true God. It will be an insult to our entire family." But the man was so in love. He with her and she with him, that they refused to listen to those who said their love would not be enough, and they married. And they lived together in the kind of happiness that most people only dream about. Each day he would take his flock out into the hills and return happily at night with a list of things in his mind to tell her about all the little things that had happened that day in the hills. He would describe for her so that she could enjoy that moment with him. And she, in turn, would tell him about all of the things that went with keeping the home that day and what might have happened in the village. And their happiness knew no bounds and became even greater. When Miriam told this man that she was pregnant, God had indeed blessed them, and they were to have a child. But that's where the story becomes a different story. The child was born without life, never once drawing breath, never once crying out. And they asked each other why, and there was no answer. And in their sorrow, they clung to each other, depending solely on their love. But then the whispers started. The neighbors speaking just loudly enough so they could be overheard in the marketplace or perhaps in the lane. God punished them, do you see? We told them they shouldn't have married. It isn't right. The God of Abraham would never allow someone to marry outside of the true faith. Yes, it is God's punishment on them, and more will be coming. And those words made the man doubt and made him fearful. And he stopped talking to his wife. There were no more stories told to Miriam of the beauty of the day or of the night sky and what he saw there. And she, in turn, stopped talking as well. And it was as though a great gulf had opened between them, and their silence became as stones building a wall between them. And the mortar that held the stones together were the whispers of judgment and anger and prejudice. The man who had gone into the hills every day and looked forward to that moment when he would return home again to the warmth of home and love began going into the hills and not returning for a day or two or a week. He found that in that time in the hills, he no longer felt peace. He no longer reveled in the beauty of those heavenly lights. All was emptiness. The weeks turned into months until he hardly ever went home at all. And his wife sat in the house by herself, a prisoner of the silence and the doubts and the fears, unable even to go into the village for the wicked comments that would be made within her hearing. And in a way, he also was a prisoner. Among the hills that had once been so wonderful, so beautiful, so peaceful, but now offered nothing. And then, one night, it happened. And the angels appeared, and one spoke of love and of God's love and drawing near. And that's when I said, then why did God kill my child? I think you knew already that this was not a story of a shepherd, but this shepherd. Then why did God kill my child? I knew I'd be struck dead instantly, but I couldn't not say it. The fear, the despair, the heartbreak. And the angel looked at me and said, Keziah, I don't know why your child died, but I know that God had no hand in it, for God works through love. God rejoiced when you and Miriam were married. Your love overcame and triumphed over prejudice and anger and suspicion and even hatred. Your love was strong enough to build a life together. And then when Miriam became pregnant, God rejoiced even more. No, God had no hand in the tragedy. God does not create tragedies, certainly not to punish the parents of an innocent child. Neither, though, does God have a hand in separating one person from another. That is due to the harshness, the judgmentalness, the fear, that drives walls, that drives, creates walls, drives people apart. No, because he said, the wall that exists between you and Miriam is of your own building. God had no hand in that either. And I knew that what he said was the truth. But then what he said changed it, changed all, changed my life when he said, because you do not realize what this means. The birth of this child changes everything. For the love of God has entered into the world in a new way. It is a way that will redeem people who have fallen. It is a way that will allow for walls to be broken. When this child grows, he will teach that love is the only thing that is powerful enough to change anyone or anything. He will teach that judgment is not the way, that forgiveness, that charity, that compassion, that is what God wants from each and every one of God's children. It is all different. And then he said, Keziah, your love was powerful enough once to build a life of happiness where others saw only misery. It can still be that strong. And then he said, be at peace, man of this world. Go and follow your heart. And then he was gone. Just like that. He was gone. They were all gone. But I knew what he'd said. I knew what he'd said was true. Some of the other shepherds in the area, they came and they said, we're going to Bethlehem. We're going to go see what the angels talked about. We're going to go see if this child is really there. And I said, I have no need to go with you. I know that the child is there. I know that what was spoken was the truth, because it was a greater truth. And so I thank you for these moments near your fire and for the chance to tell this story to you. Maybe in my words and in my life, you will hear something that reminds you of something in your own. Maybe you have walls. But I know that I am the most blessed man in the world. For I leave now with the voice of an angel in my heart and my mind, and I finally am headed home. Shalom.